Yes. I haven't played a kazoo in a long time. I'm one of the better kazoo players. Matter of fact, I really did get my start in the musical world in a triangle band. Miss Bundy, I remember her very distinctly, Miss Bundy organizing one of the very first, do you remember those triangle bands? One of the very first rhythm triangle bands that ever really made the big time in this country. We were way ahead of our time, actually. It was a triangle band. They had guys that played Quaker Oat cans. They had guys that played triangles. And we made triangles out of big tenpenny nails, you know, they hang on strings, ding, ding. And they had a kid, one of the really swinging type kids in our group, played one of these little wooden marimbas that you get at the dime store. You know, it says A, B, C, D on it. It's only got five notes or four notes. You go, tonk, 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 was the way he would play it. And there were seven kazoos, and I was a kazoo. I was played second kazoo. And if you'll bring in Tiger Rag there, Eddie, we'll try a little bit here. You all can hardly wait for Tex McCrary to come on. Well, he doesn't blow a kazoo, but the kazoo ain't the only paper instrument you can blow. I'll tell you the trouble with this kazoo is it's completely shot. Crying out loud. Look at that. Needs a new paper in there. Oh, look at that. Dead kazoo. That's why I couldn't get what I wanted out of it. No, it's terrible. When you've got a bad kazoo, you're just dead. There's no going back, you know. Oh, look at that. See it, Eddie? Shot. Where can I get a filler for my kazoo? You must be able to get a filler. Speaking of kazoos, as long as we're on the subject and we've brought it up, the kazoo, of course, has a great symbolic purpose in our world. Have you ever used this expression around here, around the East? Blow it out your kazoo, Dad. Or try that one on your tin kazoo. Never heard that? No? Well, I guess they don't talk like they do in Indiana. That's real Bean Blossom County put down. That really is. Yeah, blow it out your tin kazoo, Mac. That is a commonly heard phrase used in Indianapolis. Another one is, yeah, try that on your tin whistle, Jack. You've probably heard that one, haven't you? Well, now, since the kazoo does have a somewhat symbolic, I won't say that it has out here in the East, but has a somewhat symbolic meaning here in the United States, I am delighted to report that blowing the kazoo has grown to almost manic stature in the last 4 or 5 years. Now, blowing your kazoo can mean one of several things. It can mean just standing on the street corner yelling at guys and telling them you can beat them up. That's one kind of kazoo blowing. Then there's the other kind of kazoo blowing when you hire a great big fat public relations agency and you spend $4,000 a week to, you know, have somebody else blow your kazoo. And of course, they do it nicely, you know, the covers of life and all that stuff. Now, that's another kind of kazoo blowing. Then, of course, there is the kazoo blowing of good old solid rock bottom advertising. Now, I don't know whether you noticed a very significant little thing that developed recently, a couple of weeks ago, in fact. On the front page of the New York Times, it was announced that the Russians have decided that what they need now is more advertising. In fact, they need advertising. Nobody's buying the tractors. Nobody seems to have any interest in the newest sickles. No one is going out and buying those great new sledgehammers with the rubber truncheon grip, you know, the pistol grip. And it's not moving, you see. And so one of the big committees in Russia recently said, we're going to have some advertising. It's just not working. Of course, now, since the Russians are obviously new at this game, it's quite evident that they're going to make a lot of mistakes, fellas. That many a guy has spent a lot of dough on a bad ad campaign and got nothing left over but some old clippings. Nothing happened at the cash register. Now, this could very well happen to the Russians, and I don't want to be the first guy to stand up and say that I know several good experts you could call on, but I really do believe that the Russians are going to flounder like any good young agency does in the beginning. It's groping. It's, of course, one thing about being a head ad man in Russia, it's very hard to lose the account. Since you are the account, you know, it's very difficult to have, you know, to have some vice president call up and say his wife doesn't like the way the picture came out, and that, who is that clown you got there wearing the straw hat in the cut there? The guy looks like a girl. What is this? Looks like Shelley Winters with a hat on. Well, it may be Shelley Winters with a hat on. It doesn't make any difference. If you're running your ad agency in Russia, you're okay. Incidentally, I saw a picture. Who was the one that looked like, what did he look like there? It was very strange there. It looked like this famous model, Sonny Liston? No. That's another one. What's her name? I have a block when it comes to ad chicks. Very famous. Looked just like her. Yeah. There was a guy in a paper the other day looking out coyly from underneath these gigantic lashes. Looked exactly like Susie Parker. And threw me there for a minute. yeah. Funny, although at times Susie Parker looks just like Tony Perkins, so it's very hard to tell sometimes. So the wind is blowing in the wrong direction, you know, you get all confused. But nevertheless, the ad world is going to really hit Russia, I think, with a great swish out there, a tremendous splash. And the one thing that Russia is going to find out, of course, is that you can write copy, but it doesn't necessarily sell. Have you looked at any European ads? The advertisement is not Europe's prime art form. They have a little trouble with it. And it's one of the funniest things, of course, is to see one of these poor, sad, stodgy British ads attempting to sell a certain kind of shoe. And it has a little print there, and it's kind of a smudgy little ad. It says, announcing a new shipment of Scotch bludgeons with a special all-weather welt. That's all. They lay it there, see? Well, to a Britisher, I suppose that works. But, you know, they're doing some very exotic kind of advertisements in Russia. I have here a note. It's happening also in Russia. They didn't mention this. Key West, Florida, the Cuban government, faced with a drastic milk shortage, has begun advertising on radio the advantages of breastfeeding. While lullaby music plays in the background, a female announcer tells listeners, quote, there is no substitute for mother's milk. Well, while lullaby music plays in the background, there is no substitute for existence. I don't know exactly how Dr. Spock would approach that. I wonder if there is an account that has the mother's milk account. Handles that account. Now, Russia has been doing things like this recently. You hear a commercial coming on. I heard this recently on Radio Moscow. They have a trio singing in English, by the way, that there's nothing that substitutes for solidarity. And they sing about stamping on the wheat or whatever it is that they do in the Ukraine, and then they sing solidarity forever, rick-a-tick-a-ting. And it's become a commodity. Don't chicken out. Now, of course, you well know I have a little piece here from Advertising Age. It says, bolstered by test run, Presbyterian Church eyes nationwide radio drive. And it's beginning to really take over. And here, for example, is one of the commercials that they have that have been taking off in various test areas where they're testing the product in various areas. You know what happens with an ad campaign? Maybe you don't know about this. But very few advertisement ad campaigns, particularly for a new product or with a new agency, have at first a nationwide campaign. In other words, there's a lot of ads that are being played down in places like Austin, Texas, or up in Manitoba that you never hear. You just don't hear them. Maybe the product falls right on its face and never makes it, or the ad campaign doesn't work. I'll tell you this, if that particular facet of the ad world was ever to go out of existence now, about 9/10 of the commercial announcers and actors in New York City would starve the next year. If the number of spots, test commercials, test films that are made every day were laid end to end, believe me, you could put the entire output of Hollywood in a 30-year period in 1 year. It's just insane. And so what they do is take a test place, like they'll decide to test the product in Minneapolis, and they make a series of commercials, and they come on and they pretend like it's a real product, you know. They'll come on the air at WCCO or someplace up in Minneapolis, and they'll sing about it, and they'll put it in the supermarkets. And if it just lays there like silly putty, nothing happens. Well, the panic button is pushed, and about 45 guys are fired. They throw the commercials into the wastebasket, and that's the end of it. And so they're trying this up in certain areas, up in the Midwest, way up in the Midwest. They're trying the new Presbyterian radio drive. Now, for those of you who haven't heard these commercials, I'll give you a little forerunner of the commercials. Would you please give me some soft music in there? Do you have any soft music? Yes. I think Claire de Lune or one of those nice soft. Just anything there. Use your own judgment there. Just make sure it is the Ride of the Valkyries. That does not introduce a spot for a little paganistic. And while we're working with the pagans there, do you have a little goodie in there for us there? Old buddy there, you hit the button there.
Whoop. Sir, the airline just called.
Who is the
That's bad news. All right, get on there.
Your jet leaves at 8:45 tonight. You arrive in Rome at 10 tomorrow.
Oh.
There's a little bit of the ale man in all of us, and nothing brings it out like a Ballantine ale. Bolder, keener, more to the point. Ballantine ale, the ale man's ale.
Who is the ale man? Every time to the
Boulder
Peter tasting ale, Valentine.
Okay, let's go. That's all right. I should worry about it. Let's see. Speaking of kazoos, this is WOR AM and FM New York, and it's funny. There are several people who have gone deeply into this study. This study of the symbolic use of language in an unconscious fashion. They claim that quite often words will sneak into a description of something. that really tell the truth about what the man or the outfit or the individual people who are writing the copy really feel about a project. And here, for example, I'm reading this piece about the new spot campaign that they're going to use to press the cause of whatever church this is. It says the radio TV division of the church, which is masterminding this promotional effort. I love the use of the word mastermind. It gives it a certain sinister quality, and at the same time, it's as though it's already working. That's a great word. They didn't just thought it up; they masterminded it. All right, here is a preview for what could very well be a new trend in the world of advertising. Please. One announcement finds two men engaged in a stream of consciousness conversation on a golf course on a quiet Sunday morning in spring. Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday? Oh, I promised to take the kids to the beach. Mad's got to spend some time with the kids, you know. Yeah. Well, besides, we find we get along just fine without the church. You know, it's up to the individual. Oh, gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days. Second man. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday? Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks? Oh, the whole world could blow up by then. Second man. Yes. Where'd you get the idea you could make it by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes? Out on that limb without him, it's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own. Where'd you get the idea you could make it by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely? Well, that's pushing the product there. I'm not immediately if people are going to call up and say I'm anti-religious. I think the spot is, frankly. And, you know, it's fascinating to see how various things which are almost, you might say, life have become products. Who would ever think of putting on a singing commercial for Mother's Milk? That's how bollock stuff our world is getting. Who would ever think of putting on a singing commercial for Doesn't It Get a Little Lonely Out on the Limb by Yourself? Wow. Wowie. And I'm sure that everybody, you know, all the people involved, they have great rationalizations for it. Sure, I'm quite convinced of this. Because in our time, there is a rationalization for this. Now, if you've, of course, we have dozens and dozens every day of the week. You can tune around the dial. You hear them on at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Little one-minute commercials for the American way of life. Have you seen those little bits? Where some crinkly-eyed guy like Spencer Tracy says, good evening, viewers. Has it ever occurred to you that you're an American and how fortunate Americans are to be Americans in this 20th century? Has it ever occurred to you that the American way of life is the greatest way of life ever devised by mankind and that the American system is the greatest system that mankind has ever devised? And you're an American. Of course, that makes you the most happy and certainly the luckiest of all individuals that the world has ever known. Thank God you're an American. Just thank God you're an American. This product was brought to you by the Public Service Department of our Products Pushing Department. Well, you've seen that one. Well, who would have ever thought of selling a way of life or just existence, you might say, just what it is, as a product, you know, wrapping it up and packaging it and getting four or five guys to write commercials for it and getting somebody to do the music and then getting Stan Freberg to do the Donald Duck voices and you're in biz. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's getting to the point now where the people, of course, what happens is I'm going to have to sound, I'll be the tocsin here, I'll sound the bell. that what is going to happen is that the people are going to look at these things which ordinarily they had considered, either they had rejected or accepted on the basis of some kind of reality. They're going to begin to look at these things like any other product because it is now wrapped in the same packaging. People have a tremendous resistance to commercials. People really do. There's no question about it. I just wonder, and it's often occurred to me, and I'm in this business, you know, and I sit and watch TV and listen to the radio, and I've done many spots, one thing or other. I'm just curious how many people actually are motivated to do something by a commercial. It's hard to know. I can also say it's very difficult to say to you yourself that you are not motivated by a commercial. Now, motivation is not as obvious as it seems. Most guys say, well, I don't listen to the commercial and jump up and run out and bite a can of beer. No, that's true, you don't. But the sinister, sneaky thing about it is when you do go out to get a can of beer or a bar of soap or a car, somehow there is one car that occurs to you to buy more than others. Now, you may not relate it to that commercial. You may not at all relate it to the ad. In fact, you are definitely anti-ad. But somehow, when you go out to buy, you forget all those ads. And yet, you don't really. You forget your antipathy to them. You forget your anger about it. You forget your, you know, you may sit there and give it the raspberries. You know, shut up, man. You know, I sit there. By George, I'll tell you, you find yourself, before you know it, making the three ring sign. You just lay it out there, the guy brings it out, you slurp it down, and you don't know why. There may be 45 kinds of beers to buy. Why this one? Well, you convince yourself it's because you like it better. Well, have you tried the other 45? Well, I doubt it, but you still convince yourself that you do. So commercials are very subtle. Now the only difficulty with a commercial is that in the end, they have a self-defeating way about them. Because if one product gets on and starts to sell like mad because of commercials, well, then the other 45 are going to come on with commercials, all vying with one another to out-jockey the other one. So what's going to happen, you see, is I'm sure that the Zen Buddhists are going to do an ad campaign. The next thing you know, you're going to have everybody on the air. If one makes it, if one campaign works, every last ideology is going to come on with a singing commercial. They're going to rush out and try to sign up various star performers. Why, for crying out loud, all you have to do is sign up Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby has played every known denomination in the films. Bing Crosby is America's official priest, actually. Now, with the passing of Barry Fitzgerald, it has become Bing Crosby. And of course, it used to be, for a while, Pat O'Brien. Don Murray has had a couple of passes at it. But, you know, it's. I wonder when they're going to ordain. Of course, this is the funny thing. You know that one of the Pittsburgh Pirate pitchers is an ordained minister, and Vernon Law, he's an ordained minister, and it's a very quiet ball game when he plays. You know, there's no yelling around. You know, it changes a little bit when the Padres out there wheeling in that slider. And, you know, you don't yell down there when you're at the bat. You know, you advance out there to the mound, you know, clutching your Louisville slugger. It's a very different scene when Vern's out there. And, in fact, many people say that this is one of the things that has contributed to his winning record over the years. But he's on the right team, you know, and he's got the... Of course, there's been a lot of rotten talk about that. But yet, on the other hand, you know that several ball teams have actively tried to sell out to the devil. They figure that the devil has a faster in-shoot, you know? In fact, I believe that some ball teams have. I don't know whether you saw this little bit here, somebody talking about blowing the kazoo, just a little piece that came out. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the showbiz aspect of baseball. Baseball, forget it, isn't baseball anymore. Every ball team is going to be vying to get guys like Henny Youngman to... You know, to manage the team. You get Jackie Gleason to run the Minneapolis Twins, and you go out and get Jack Benny to run the White Sox, and you play the violin, you know, between innings, that whole jazz. Well, did you see what's happened out? I never expected it this soon, but it's coming out now. Here, I quote from the New York Times. The Yanks have dolled up the stadium club, literally, with blonde hostesses dressed in Uncle Sam suits. blonde hostesses with Uncle Sam suits. For crying out loud, including full-length black hose and peppermint-striped cutaways. Just real sexy, like the Playboy Club. Well, we're on our way. I mean, the Yankees yet. Well, so this is all part of packaging the product now. It's come. I heard the other night, he was on the air. It was a half-hour documentary picture. And he was packaging rockets. He was telling you about what a wonderful world of tomorrow rockets are going to bring you. Well, now, it took him a lot of flip-flops to make it come true. A lot of devious working. The way he figures it is that rockets put a lot of guys to work. I mean, building rockets. And also the way he figures it is that when the first rocket gets to Saturn, we're liable to find that it is made of blue cheese. And a lot of people like blue cheese and have a lot of cheap blue cheese. Of course, it costs us $42 trillion to get there. But the facts of the matter, nobody wants to admit the one basic thing about rockets. The one basic thing. And poor old Walter Kiernan keeps talking about, have you noticed how much Walter Kiernan talks about money? He's always talking about money on his part. They're always pouring it down the rat hole to Walt. but Walt the other night was talking about the rockets, you see, and he was saying, well, why don't they take all that money in the cure unemployment in West Virginia and so forth, as if they ever would. You know, that's silly, because it's like telling a guy, instead of spending that money on that new Buick, instead of spending money on all those bowling games, why don't you go out and buy yourself a good set of books and learn Spanish? Why don't you go out and do some good push-ups, and why don't you learn, say, trigonometry? You should know that. In short, man always wants to spend his money on kicks. Now, we do this individually, and we do it en masse. And it doesn't make any difference. Kicks don't have anything to do with ordinary economics, so you can't think of them in that sense. It's just like you take the average guy, he will think nothing of spending a buck for a martini. A buck for a martini. And he will scream bloody murder. Literally, he'll really raise Cain if they raise the toll somewhere on some little toll pike from 10 cents to 15 cents to go, like, say, 40 miles, you know. He will really raise Cain about this. A lousy nickel. He'll throw down a tip of $2. He'll eat himself a steak with his chick. They'll eat a steak. And they'll have a couple of drinks. Put $2 down there for this waiter and walk away. Never think anything about it. And yet, why? Well, because it's kicks he's buying. He's buying something else. He's buying, in a sense, what life is all about to many people. Life is about kicks. Life is not about, learning Spanish. Life is not about trying to get a double-entry bookkeeping system worked out in your brain. Life is not about those things. Life is about the steak. It literally is. And you will spend it for that. And so if you're going to wonder why mankind... Mankind is nutty about rockets. Look at yourself. Now, honestly, look at yourself. How many times have you looked up at the stars, especially when you were a kid? You looked up at the stars and you says, wow. And one of the most exciting things of all is to consider life on other planets. You really do. You think about this. It's a fantastically exciting thing. It's extremely exciting to think of flying to the moon. This has been part of fiction, myth, legend, name it. It's been part of it ever since history has been recorded. One of the very first things that the prehistoric man looked up at and drew was the moon. He did. There it is, you know. And you just keep looking at this thing. So to be confused as to why they're trying to send the rocket there is to totally miss your own desires. Now, I suspect that after a man gets older, he gets to a certain stage where all the yeast has long since disappeared, you know. He gets to a certain stage where his blood is flowing very, very quietly, slowly, and hardly at all. Then he does not remember his excitement over the moon. He does not remember wanting to travel to Saturn. He doesn't have that anymore. And all he worries about is, when are they going to get the streetcar tracks fixed over there in Kensington, for crying out loud? You know, that kind of stuff. I notice that the older a guy gets, the more he complains about trivia. The more he says, why don't, yeah, they're sending a rocket to the moon. Why don't they do something about the holes in the Grand Concourse? They could fix them holes. Oh, you know, this is pure trivia. And to him, this is a very important issue. And you notice that the older he gets, the more he will yell about stuff like that. That's a very bad sign. I've heard guys, you know, say, they'll say, well, who wants to fly faster than the speed of sound? For crying out loud, look at that. You can't even get a decent sandwich here in town. What have the two got to do with each other? Nobody knows. But he keeps yelling this kind of, this kind of crud. This is the kind of arguments that you get in, sure, it's true. The kind of arguments you get in politics. You'll hear some idiotic politician get up and say, and we're spending $17 million to send a rocket to Saturn when there are parking meters on Vine Street. Why? That's the same jazz. No connection whatsoever, and yet he's popping off. You can always see the older the politician gets, the more he'll talk like that. And that's about the time you ought to put them out to graze. Out there where the grass is tall, let them nibble at the top of the corn, you know, and yell about the holes in the Grand Concourse. You know, that's all right. And yet this will go on and on. I'm sure there's a lot of guys getting mad right now listening, you know. What do you mean, the Grand Concourse? I'm sure they ought to fix them holes, huh? You know. Well, I'm sorry. That mankind on Toto is more interested in having kicks than it is in putting the holes to right. Now look in your own life. More than one guy I know will not cut his own lawn, to use his own idiotic kind of rationale, or let's say irrationale. He will not cut his own lawn. His back tires need fixing. He's got holes in his teeth, and yet he will go on a 2-week vacation to Puerto Rico. And it will cost him $2,000, you know, a cruise. Well, a guy's going to have some fun. That's exactly what he'll say. That's right. So does mankind. Mankind would go out of its skull with boredom if it spent its entire world, all of its time on Earth, fixing the holes in the Grand Concourse. Believe me, can you imagine that as the top headline? Can you imagine reading that? Holes in Grand Concourse, now fixed. City manager says, you know, big headline. Well, all right, if you want that kind of life, fine. I suspect the only kind of people who do are very elderly. Now, you don't have to necessarily be old chronologically to be elderly. There are many very young elderly people. I have run into them many, many times. Of course, that's because generally they grow up in an elderly household where people are yelling about things of that nature constantly, you know, just continually. And so I've seen this. Boy, I'll tell you, I'll never forget one time I saw a scene like this. It was a senior prom. I know a kid, well, you know, 4 years, you go to high school, you finally get up to the point where the senior prom is going on, and the kids are looking forward to it. It's a big deal. There's only one senior prom. I'll never forget this kid, a friend of mine. He was not going to go to the prom. Nobody knew why. And finally he broke down and said it. He said, well, my old man says that what I ought to do is save my money for college. Save his money for college? I mean, one lousy night, you know, what can you do? The ticket's like, you know, $1.50 a piece, you know, the seniors. And so it costs $2 in gas to drive up there and back again, and you rent a tuxedo for $4.50. And he says, well, my brother says I ought to save my... I hate to tell you what happened to the guy. To make a long story even more poignant, he was killed a year and a half later over Italy. Now, it doesn't make... The two don't connect. No, that's true. And I'm not trying to connect them. But I am telling you that we concentrate so much on trivia. We concentrate so much on what we consider practicality. You know, this is a great word. Now, practicality means trivia. It literally does. You'll find... And I'm not excusing wild spendthrift. No. But I am saying this, that it doesn't make any difference. I'd like to say one thing about this idea of what seems to be wasting money in the world. It is a sad natural fact that mankind does want kicks. You've got to consider that. And good works are not kicks. Not to mankind. Not to very many. And even if you think you get your kicks through good works, you better be very careful. Just be very honest and consider how many good works you do and how many other things you do that you get your real kicks from that you don't even talk about. But mankind en masse wants kicks. Now, he gets kicks a lot of ways. Now the only way that mankind can get kicks is that if all the people are involved in the same thing. Now, this is a mass kick as opposed to the individual kick. Now, I have to make that very clear distinction, which most people do not or don't want to, that the difference between individual man and mass man is almost two different species. It really is. That one man is one thing. You get 20,000 of them together, and you have an entirely different animal. And you think that you are the same in a crowd. You are not. You'll find yourself out at Yankee Stadium hollering your guts out. You wouldn't yell over a thing like this all by yourself in front of the television set. Nobody yells in front of the TV set. Watching the same game. You put him with 20,000 people. Hey, Whitey! Come on, Whitey! And he comes home hoarse, his eyeballs hanging out, sweat. Why? Well, he's in one case, a mass man. When he's sitting in front of the TV set, he's a unit. One single unit. Now, you as a unit want kicks. Now, the kicks that you want may not be the same as the mass kick. Not necessarily the same, but they are related. It's like the sum of all the people's desire for kicks. And so there has been some talk, and it's an interesting thesis. There has been some talk that this current space drive, this tremendous interest in space and going to the other planets, by mankind all over the world. They're interested in this all over the world, you know, and they're following it with fantastic. It doesn't make any difference. You can take a country like Peru. They're not going to send any rocket to Saturn, but they're fascinated by the idea of a man landing on the moon. This is a man. It's not a Peruvian. It's not an American. It's not a Russian. It's a man. They are a man, too, you know. And so they're watching this with great excitement. Now, there has been some talk that this wild drive to get to the planets could very well be the thing that has prevented a major war in the last 3 or 4 years. Now, why? Well, because, and the two are closely connected, because whether you like it or not, a major war is also a mass kick. It is a thing that man en masse gets a kick out of, you know, he really does. Now, large numbers of guys find it tough. They work like mad during a war. Many of them get killed. But nevertheless, the great majority of people find a great excitement and interest in wars. Because how many people actually fight a war in any given population? Very few. Very, very few. You just name the number of combat soldiers you know on one hand, and you'll find that you won't know many. And so you will find, actually, that sure, everybody in America was in the war. Sure, they were in the war. Well, it was very exciting, and it was like everybody was part of a great big team, and cheering and yelling. Every little man, you know, he was part of a team, and it was very important. His team was fighting the bad guys, and the bad guys were fighting the good guys. And war is exciting, whether you want to concede it or not. Now, a lot of kids, a lot of young kids are going to wonder why I'm saying this. Because they have not experienced a war. It's like, you know, a guy says, well, gee, I don't know why anybody likes to go swimming. He's never been near the water. He doesn't know. And so a war, and I'm not saying war is good, I'm saying it's exciting. Bad things can be exciting. An automobile race is dangerous. A lot of guys get killed in automobile races, but they are exciting. I'm not saying they're good. They are exciting. And so here, somehow, we've come along, and it's in the 1950s, everyone decided to make this gigantic space race. Symbolic war. Have you noticed they always refer to it as a race? It's a war. But it's a different kind of war. It's a symbolic war. Everybody's racing for the moon. So they'll finally get there. Somebody will get there. They will win that lap. Let's say the Russians get there first. We don't know. You know, they're liable to pull a real sneaky one. Tomorrow morning, you're liable to wake up, and there will be an announcement on the radio at 6 o'clock in the morning that it has been announced by TASS that a man is on the way to the moon. Now, somebody just heard that, probably. I mean, he's calling his friend. I'm saying this is a hypothetical announcement. I give you that disclaimer. Now, what would happen? Well, we'd all be fascinated. We would. Whether we're Russians or not, we'd be wildly excited, you know. Oh, and all of a sudden, they start getting the radio messages back from this guy. He's on the moon. And he says, I claim the moon now for Mother Russia. And he puts a big sign on it. Now, this is another one of the USSR provinces. Put a big sign. That's it. It's now communist moon. And he looks around, takes some rocks, gets back in the spaceship, and comes back. By the time this guy is not more than 40 miles up the surface of the moon, we would be frantically getting our Saturn rocket ready. We would be like mad, because that's the next lap, you see. And then there would be immediately everyone would cheer, and they'd say, well, they took the first lap, but we'll see who's going to get to Mars. Boo! Wow, wow, wow. We're gone, see. They say, well, they're on Mars. Well, now, you say they're wasting money? Well, there's another way to spend money, friend. You could shoot those rockets back and forth, you know. You could just change the direction. That's another way to spend the money. And you say, isn't there an alternative? I wonder. Immediately, everyone says, well, why don't... Look, they've got plenty of troubles in their country. Why don't they get after those and we get after the troubles in our country? Oh, come on now. You've got plenty of troubles in your life. Why don't you get after them? Why don't you get your teeth fixed? Come on. You've got plenty of troubles. Why don't you get that lamp fixed? I mean, why don't you pay off those bills? Why don't you do all that rotten stuff that you've been putting off? Well, that's the same reason. Sure. You say, well, I keep up with that kind of stuff. By George, if it was me, I'd fix them holes in Fordham Road. I'd take care of them roads. By George, I'd have that road through T-neck so that you... Yeah. Would you really? I wonder. I question. If you did, I don't think you'd get elected. No, people want other guys to give them dreams to work on. They just do. That's a fact. And that's the way it always will be. Now, can you actually waste money? That's a good question, too. You know, when you go back, did the Egyptians waste money by building the pyramids? They're all gone, you know. Nothing but sand drifting back and forth there, you know. Few little rocks. Did they waste money? Think of all the money that was wasted in the Punic Wars. Think of it. Think what they could have done with it. I don't know. What could they have done? Well, who knows, you know? More lawnmowers, maybe. I don't know. So it goes on and on and on. Keep your knees loose, and I'll see you at the Dynamic Maturity Pavilion.